Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
We're not talking about pain and sorrow today, but we are going to have a really awkward teenage conversation.
Yes. Oh, man.
You ready for some third-hand embarrassment? Not even second-hand embarrassment. We're getting third-hand on this one.
This just reminded me of so many high school conversations that I've had. And let's just get through it.
All right. We're talking about minute 23 through 24. Yesterday, we left off with Paul outside the cave where Jessica and Stilgar are in with Reverend Mother Romalo. Say that five times fast. And Paul is looking around at all the Fremen around him. Some are displeased at his presence. Some are very happy at his presence. And some just don't care about him at all. Paul turns to those that don't care about him, that are laughing and making jokes amongst themselves, and in the most awkward teenage way, walks up, does like a little pose, and then goes, "What are you guys laughing about?"
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
He can see the future, and he didn't realize what a douche he was going to look like in this moment.
Dude.
Not a douche, just, cringy as fuck, dude.
This is one of those moments where, like, even a whole movie in, I'm like, was Timothy Chalamet the right person to act? And simply just because he is, he's such like a fucking dork in this scene. And like,
yeah,
maybe that wasn't the Timothy Chalamet thing. Maybe it was just like the way that they wanted Paul to feel so awkward and weird.
I guess, like, I don't know, but in the books, he moves, he's uncertain at times, sure, but he moves with, like, and carries himself with such a confidence.
But he's not just trying to be cool here.
No.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
And then Johnny's just like, don't bother.
Which is cold-blooded response.
Yeah. Especially as she's saying it through a laugh, too. Like,
yeah.
Bitch, why are you talking to me?
Gives no time, does not throw him a bone, nothing.
Oh, in my notes, I was like, they're 10 million percent making fun of his skinny white boy ass just being out in the desert.
Yes, absolutely they are. So after this, Paul turns away briefly, trying to think of what to say. He's trying to have his the jerk store called, and they're running out of view moment. But instead of something cool, he turns back around and says, "You don't believe in all this?"
He says it more like, "You don't believe in all this."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And more of like a, he's trying to pivot to be cool to them, where he's like, "You don't fucking believe in this shit."
Yeah.
"I don't believe in it. I definitely don't believe. Why would I believe in it?"
I read that different. I read that as a, like, a genuine question, or maybe asking, "Why don't you believe in all this?"
Maybe.
But they clearly do not believe in all this.
No, we don't. These are all Southern beliefs.
I know about some Southern beliefs, John.
Yeah? What do you know about Southern beliefs, Zach?
Well, we live amongst them. We live in the South, so I get it when they say these are Southern beliefs in kind of a joking tone. Very dismissive, very like, this is comical to them.
Yeah.
They go on to explain that the Southern tribes are the ones who believe in the Messiah, and specifically that the Messiah will deliver them from evil. And that they only believe in the Fremen.
Bilal Kaifa.
Bilal Kaifa. Is that what that means?
That's the response to "we believe in Fremen."
Ah,
which
okay.
Bilal Kaifa translates to effectively "amen."
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. That's good to know.
Yeah. The subtitles translate that for you.
I missed that part. Whoops.
Starting to slack on our notes here, huh?
Well, you know, I only have 500 other things that I'm doing right now as well.
Well, whose fault is that?
Mine. It's mine.
Okay.
Anyways. So this is really illustrating the difference between the younger crowd and the older crowd. We had talked about this a good bit before, but this is just more evidence that young people don't believe in this superstitious bull crap.
Yeah.
But the older people are religious fanatics. That is the two camps that we are led to believe exist in this group.
Yeah, and Chani does not mince words here either, because she immediately says, you want to control people, you tell them a Messiah will come, then they'll wait for centuries.
Yep. Which is a very astute view of what's happening.
Yeah.
So at this time, Stilgar comes out of his cave. And now we must pray, is what Stilgar says. And I love that his like attendant brings him a little pillow to kneel on. It's very cute. And he bows down into the end of the minute. Yep. So kind of a short minute. Well, it's 60 seconds.
All 60 seconds, but
this is a lot of conversation. Not a lot of this, or none of this really happens in the book. And I want to maybe spend some time talking about Chani.
Okay.
So I mentioned this yesterday, but book Chani and movie Chani are being portrayed in such a different light. This is going to be something that I talk about through this entire movie.
Sure.
But
because it's going to be very relevant throughout the entire movie.
Yes, very much so. Chani in the books is very reverent. Like, she respects the culture. She respects the religion. Hell, she's reciting prayers during the Friend of Jameis scene or passage in the book. She's made a Sayadina. Which is not
a small deal.
No.
Like, that is very important in Fremen culture.
Right. Hell, her father was Liet Kynes.
Yeah.
So to have Chani be so dismissive of the religion and the practices was certainly an interesting choice that they made for portraying her.
Yeah. Do you think it's because they wanted to have some separation from her and Stilgar in terms of, like...
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right.
Competing ideologies within Fremen culture?
Yes, I think that's a good read on it. I think they wanted to put all of the religious fanaticism into one character, basically.
One major character with their own posse of extras that sticks around.
Correct.
At least.
Yeah. So in the movie, Stilgar is more than fervent for the both of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it makes sense from that perspective, but it's just, you know, time will tell how I feel about just the overall portrayal of Chani in the movie. And this is nothing to say about the acting. Zendaya is doing a wonderful job of this, but just the overall character of Chani is a little different, and I'm not sure it's a good change yet.
I will definitely have a lot more to say later on. And I don't think... There's one scene in particular that I'm thinking of that is much later on, like 100 plus episodes from now, kind of later on. But I think is very important that they don't address, which really hits on a lot of the positions I feel about their portrayal of Chani in this movie.
Okay. Well, I will wait with bated breath. okay, cool. That's all I had. No major book notes right now. We'll get to those a little bit later.
Okay.
But anything else from your end?
Just a real quick little more information that I held. I have to apologize. I did hold some information back in previous episodes here about...
How dare you?
Dabit Hanut. About Dabit Hanut in Jordan. Denise specifically wanted this shooting away from Wadi Rum, which is where a lot of the other external shots were done for Dune Part 1, because Dabit Hanut has almost a like white stone kind of appearance to it. And because it was so different from everything else, that's why they made the choice to do the shoot for this scene at this location because they wanted it to feel very separate from the siege, very separate from everything else.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So we still don't know how long they had traveled to get here, but it is definitively not near Siege Tabor.
Okay.
At least according to what Art and Soul has to say.
Gotcha. Okay, so there was definitely a passage of time.
Yeah.
Getting here. Got it.
Could have been a couple hours. Who knows?
All right, cool. Well, let's get back tomorrow and round out the week. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. As always, you can find us online. We are available on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com. And you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch. We'll be back to end the week on a Friday episode.
All right. See you then.
See you.